The last year, my son has been living with us, but his heart has always been back in the north. Yesterday, he packed up the car with his suitcases and his laptop and his TV and his big fan, and he got it all in his car, and he drove away yet again to leave us, as he's got a new job starting at the start of August, based in Telford, but he's going back to live in Oswestry, back with his mates. It was very sad to wave him goodbye and kind of sort of think, you know, he's been with us for a while. But this week also, my daughter has moved, and she's moved from Watford, and her tenancy runs out at the end of this week. And so her master plan, because she's at Soul Survivor, Naturally Supernatural this week, and so she said, I need to move everything out. So last week, our garage got filled with her stuff. Now, she's lived away from home for a long period of time, so she's gathered a lot more stuff, and we thought it stopped there, but actually, there's now been three more carloads since the van have arrived at our house as well. And so two of those cars are still full of her stuff. So two different kind of approaches to moving, but it's obviously been an interesting, literally a moving week for us as a family. So, when you move house, it's a good time to look at what you've got and maybe get rid of stuff that you've accumulated, you've had for a while, maybe you don't need it anymore, maybe it's been in the garage for years and you haven't opened boxes, so why not get rid of it? So in the case of my son, he has left a lot of his clothes behind because he had to wear certain clothes as part of his job in estate agents. Well, he doesn't want to wear them anymore. His new job doesn't require him to dress quite as smartly as before. And so they've stayed in his wardrobe along with a few other things. And so he's left behind some stuff that he doesn't think is appropriate. Whereas my daughter seems to have got rid of absolutely nothing. And in fact, she's gained more and more every move that she moves. So we'll need two vans when she moves down to Bournemouth next month. And this idea of getting rid of stuff is our theme for this morning. The phrase, let it go, was one that you probably are all familiar with. Way back in 2013, it became a very common phrase because of the song that came from the film Frozen. And I've never seen the film, but I certainly knew the song because quite often people would, in conversation, you'd just be talking with them about an issue you're dealing with, and they'll suddenly burst in, let it go, let it go. It's suddenly, for no apparent reason, just it's like you're living a real musical when they suddenly burst into song. And people would sing this to me because they'd have to say, it's okay, Glenn, it's not too much of an issue, just move on. And this song became almost like a chance to be able to say, come on, we can let go and move on. Well, this theme, though, in a sense, doesn't only come from Disney. They didn't invent the phrase. In fact, it's a very biblical concept. And we're going to read together some verses from the Bible that take this idea of letting go of stuff that maybe that we don't need to hold on, or maybe we should never have had holding on to in the first place. So let's read together. The first one is from Hebrews 12, 1-2. So let's read this together. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. That's Hebrews 12, 1-2. It's throw away everything that hinders us and entangles us. Let it go. Another one is Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 22-32. So let's read this together as well. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Last bit. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. So you have a long list of things to give up and also a few things to hold on to. Children's Church have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit over recent weeks. In the adult church, we have been looking over the last couple of weeks a series called the Ephesus Experience, looking at when the Apostle Paul came and visited the city of Ephesus in Asia Minor. And he spent at least 2 years there preaching, firstly to the Jews in the synagogue, and then he moved to the community lecture hall and spent some more time. So Acts 19:10 says this. So he's over here in Ephesus, and there's Greece over here, just so you know, and Italy over here. So Ephesus, they says in verse 10 of chapter 19, this went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. That's pretty extraordinary evangelism to be able to have spoken to so many people over that period of time, both Jews and Greeks got to hear. But something else happened in Paul's ministry. It goes on to say God did extraordinary miracles through Paul as well. And I just want to think about that for a moment this morning. So I need three volunteers who haven't already taken part this morning. Do you want to go over this one, Taryn, over here? And you can choose either ones of these, Ruth. Come on, Judith. Okay, there we go. All right, so what we've got here is we've got extraordinary miracles being done for different kind of people. So we have some people who are sick. We have some people who are infirm because of maybe they're lame. So you have the Zimmer. Okay, there you go. All right, put in there. And we also had some people there who were troubled, possessed with evil spirits. So we've chosen Taryn with the horns as well. We thought that would be quite appropriate for this morning. So you had all these people living in places where Paul visited. And of course, when Jesus was ministering, he met people with the same kind of problems. We read in Matthew 8:16, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, that's brought to Jesus, and he drove out the spirits with the word, and he healed all the sick. Matthew 15:30 says, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, the many others, laid them at his feet, and he healed them. And then it says in Matthew 14, people brought all their sick to him and begged him to let their sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who were touched were healed. So even just touching the clothes of Jesus, people were healed. And the Apostle Paul experienced a similar thing. This is what it says in Acts 19. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. I don't think that what happened was that Paul sneezed on them and wiped his nose and then placed them on the sick. Achoo! Achoo! I don't think that's what happened. I don't think that Paul had a great big pile of these hankies that he wanted to give away. You know, like some of these American televangelists got a big box of anointed hankies and they send them through the post. I don't think that's what happened. I think people came with their hankies and they kind of just tried to touch Paul. And something about the anointing of God in Paul's life came out of onto the hankies, and the hankies then were taken to wherever the people were sick, and they placed them on them, and the anointing that was on Paul was transferred through the handkerchiefs that people brought. And the same applies, I think, with aprons. I don't think they all were given pinnies, and looking very sweet, very nice, thank you very much, and everyone had one, and Paul had said, here's my pinny, it's my face is on it, saying Paul's greatest ministries, and you can have that, take it away, and you'll be anointed. I think people brought their own aprons, and then kind of got near to Paul or touched him, and then they took that back. And it was as if Paul was coming to their house and they were anointed. In the case of Jesus, people were healed, and then the same power that worked through Jesus worked through Paul, and all of these people were healed as well. And so as a result, after the anointed hanky or the apron had touched the sick, they were healed. Very well done. Had anointed all those who were infirm and couldn't walk very well, you were healed. Let go of your Zimmer. You don't need it anymore. And even those who were possessed with demons, when they had the anointed hankies or aprons, they were released from those demons in Jesus' name. Okay, so it was also a wonderful time in the church. Now, the problem is that when sometimes people see these kind of things happening, They think, oh, this looks like a good thing to do. People's lives have been changed, so I'll have a go. So just stand up for a moment. Okay, so you are now going to play the part of seven people. I don't know how you're going to do that. But there's three of you, but you can be seven, okay? So you are the sons of Sceva. Sceva was a man, and you decided that you were going to try and cast out a demon from someone, okay? Because you'd seen Paul do it, you thought, well, anyone can do this. And this is what it says that they said. In the name of Jesus, I'll be the demon-possessed man. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. So would you want to say that to me?
In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out.
Okay, now they thought, well, that they'll immediately get the same thing that Paul did. But this is what the demon said. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? That's a dangerous thing for a demon to say to you, because then the demon, who was so strong at working the man, attacked the sons of Sceva, so much so that they barely got away with their lives. You can sit back down again now. Thank you very much. And because he was so strong, this demonic force within this man, and at that moment, everybody in Ephesus was so scared. Scared, on the one hand, because they could see how powerful a demon could be, but also amazed because they saw the power of God through Paul led to people becoming free of these very strong demons. So something at work within Paul was different to what these people were doing. And so what people started to do was when they saw what Paul was doing, they felt a sense of conviction about things that maybe were wrong in their lives. And they decide to let go of things that might just have something to do with the devil in their life. And this is what it says. Let's read this together. This is Acts 19, verse 17. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they had calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So all these people that had spells and charms and all kinds of things threw things into the fire to get rid of them, a way to let it go by physically doing something to be able to let go of the things that were wrong. And, you know, a long time ago, I ended up doing something a little bit similar to that. I'd been part of a book club. It was called Encounter Books. It was Encounter or Encounter Books. It was run by W.H. Smith. And I joined that book club, and it was had books on things like science fiction and fantasy and space technology and mysteries and UFOs and all that sort of thing. And I stayed in that book club for a little while, but then over a period of time, I noticed that more and more books were about the occult, about the devil, about witchcraft, and they were seeping into this book club. And I became very uncomfortable about it, so I stopped my membership. And I wrote to them, and I said, why? I said, you know, this is dangerous. The stuff which you're dealing with here is not fake, it's not fantasy, it's real. The work of the enemy can damage people. So anyway, I've pulled out of it. And at that time, I had three books left that were still I'd bought over a period of time. And one was about mysteries of the universe. One was called The Secrets of Space. And the other one was this one, the Illustrated Encyclopedia of Space Technology, a comprehensive history of space exploration. It was a really good book charting the history. It was really interesting, lots of very interesting graphics. All those three books had come from this club, and I felt really convicted that even though there was nothing wrong with the books, that I should let them go because they had come from this book club. They were connected with something that was dealing with the occult, was dealing with the devil's work. So I got rid of my first two books, The Mysteries of the Universe and The Secrets of Space. I got rid of those. I found it quite easy to let go of those because they were okay books, but they weren't as good as this one. But I kept this one for a little while longer. I thought, but there's nothing wrong with this book, Lord. This book's really good. It's really interesting. But it wouldn't let me go because in the end, I needed to let go of everything that was connected with that book club. And so I made the decision to to get rid of that book as well. And then it never troubled me again. I never felt that conviction at all. I just felt because of its connection with that book club, I had to let it go. And it may be, because this is the subject we're looking at this morning, it may be that somebody here has had a connection with something similar in their life. It could be that you've practiced the Ouija board, or it could be that you've used tarot cards or done palm readings. Could be you regularly read your horoscope and allow it to influence your actions. Could be that you read books regularly about the subject of death and the supernatural and some form of witchcraft. Maybe you watch films that glorify evil. Or maybe you've got some kind of icon or statue or artifact that's been used in occult practice. If you have, then there is a risk that it may have an influence upon your spiritual life. Not that things control us, but actually the association with those things could, not saying would do, but could cause us a hindrance in our Christian walk. And we might need to be challenged to let them go. Or it might not be anything particularly evil as such, but it might be something that's on this list. Remember it says there, do not give the devil a foothold. So Paul is suggesting that this long list here in Ephesians 4 might give a devil a foothold. And if you're climbing up a mountain, a foothold is where you put your foot that gives you a leg up to be able to get higher and higher. And if we give a devil a foothold in our life, then he gets more influence in our life and can affect us. And then we wonder why our Christian life isn't growing and we're struggling. It could be because we give the devil a foothold, because these things may take a place within our lives. And so it may well be that we need to be challenged to give up wrong feelings. Maybe we know we're responding to people in a wrong way. Maybe we're very impatient, very selfish. Maybe we're very intolerant and critical of people. Maybe we know our speech is unkind. And so this morning, it's a serious subject. We've looked at things lightly today, but this is quite a serious thing because this is actually doing battle. It's spiritual warfare, but it's very important to let go of stuff that might hold us back. And so we have here our fire. Our simulated fire, and you have a cup and a blank piece of paper. Take that piece of paper and just think for a moment. Maybe you want to just think of something that maybe you've been prompted with in something we've talked about this morning, or maybe it's something up here you think, yeah, do you know what, this is an issue in my life. And then I want you to rip up that piece of paper and put it in your cup. And I just want you to come and bring your cup up here and pop it in the fire as a way of sort of saying, Lord, I'm recognizing that this area in my life is not right, but I want to let it go. I'm going to do something physical that will help me do that. So just have a think for a moment about that, and then we'll play a song in the background while we do it. Let's pray, first of all. Let's pray. Lord, as we reflect for a moment on our lives, help us to recognize areas in our lives that can cause a blockage between us and you. Help us to recognize aspects of our lives that are not pleasing to you, but can easily be dealt with if we give them into your hands and let them go. Thank you for your grace and mercy, and may we be on the receiving end of your healing today as we take this step to let go and let God have his way among us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we're grateful for all you've done for us, for all you're doing for us, and all you will do for us. Thank you for giving all of yourself that we may be able to find, through Jesus, forgiveness of sin and access to the Heavenly Father. Father, I pray for everyone here this morning, myself included, who has been able to identify something in our lives that needs to change, something that needs to stop, something that needs to be relinquished. And Lord, in response to our response, I pray that you may replace that which was wrong with that which is right, to fill the space that is left with your Holy Spirit, and let us feel a tangible presence bringing peace, comfort, and healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, identifying something and ripping up a bit of paper and putting it in a box does not mean anything more than perhaps our first decision to say there's something here I need to deal with. And it may be that you will be able to just have that and that will set you free. Maybe you want to talk about that more. You want to pray with anybody about anything that's been touched on or addressed that you want to take further, discuss and pray. Please see those people with those badges who will be more than happy to pray with you and take you through the next process for freedom in that area.